Hello and welcome to our Gulfstream Park Players Podcast. This is our show for Sunday, January 16th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in a Brooklyn bunker that can best be described as frigid. We've got layer upon layer on today, braving the cold in New York on this MLK Day weekend. And I'm joined by two guests who are in a considerably warmer place, though a place not without weather issues potentially of its own. We'll start with the usual co-host of this program, Darren DeLucia. Double D, how are things down there, my man?
Good morning, Peter. I just want to say one thing. You say the weather's real good. Well, me and Larry are in the suite, and the weather does not look too good. It looks like it's going to be a storm today. So I'm just letting you know, anybody that's listening, be cautious about betting on the turf because it could come off possibly.
Now, granted, with the this is what this synthetic course is supposed to do, make these races more playable when they do come off the turf and onto the synth. So hopefully we can still find some plays along the way. I realize I misintroduced myself. That was supposed to be Pistol Pete. Forgot to get it in there. I'll get better. I promise I'll improve. The Larry that Double was referring to is a man whose name you've seen in your daily racing form. Thoroughbred owner, excited to get the chance to speak with him today. Lawrence P. Roman, welcome to the In the Money Airwaves.
Thank you so much, Pistol Pete. I used to love Pistol Pete Maravich when he used to play for the Atlanta Hawks, so you got a great name.
I know, I do not feel worthy of the name in the context of Pistol Pete Maravich, but we go with it anyway. They let me in off the goalpost as far as being referred to as a Pistol Pete. I wanted to talk to you, Larry, about your time in thoroughbred racing. How far back does this passion go for you?
Oh, it's a long time. It's a long time. I started when I was 17 years old. I snuck out to the races from Jamaica High School. I went to Aqueduct. I lost the first day, I think, $12. I was crying. But so that night I went to Yonkers Raceway, which was harness racing. And I lost another $12, but I was hooked even more. So I became a lover of racing at a very, very young age. And I'm one of the few people who's been fortunate enough to survive this very difficult game.
What's the great line? Is it, I think Harvey Pack relayed the great line. I think it was Mickey Rooney who said he went to the track the first day and lost $100 and has been spending the rest of his life and many, many thousands trying to win it back. Is that part of it for you, Larry? Is the gambling at the center of the game's appeal?
Yes, it's all to me. I was a gambler. I'm still a gambler. I trade stocks. I was in business gambling when I was doing that. And so it's the rush. It's whether you bet, if you're betting football, it's the same rush. And certain people enjoy that. And I enjoy the rush of a race, any kind of action. That's my love. And gambling, the fact that I started out betting horses got me to a point where I always, when I'm racing, one thing you know about every horse I have, it's 100% out to win. I'm out to put them in a spot where I think they can win. And there's no anything other than that. I'm out 100%. And I've tried, you know, and I'm very pleased with the rise I've gotten from the great jockeys. And my trainers are unbelievable. So getting into the owner part of the game is a lot more difficult. It's very expensive, but I treat it like a business. And that's allowed me to survive in this very difficult sport.
I was going to ask you how you made that transition from gambling on these beasts to owning them. Is there a story there?
When you're going to the racetrack and you're looking and seeing all these great people, big owners, you always say, boy, I'd love to have a horse. And I started out with a harness horse that was a $10,000 claimer, and I made money with him, and that suckered me in just like any other player. And, you know, at one point I've had 15 horses, I think is probably the most. And sometimes I'm down right now, down to, I don't know, a handful of horses, maybe five or six horses. But it's an expensive game. And not only is it expensive, it's, you know, there's a lot of different bills, a lot of people involved, a lot of work involved in keeping your stable up. You know, every day I get bills. I don't even know sometimes who these people are sending me bills, but you got to get your bills paid. And One thing with my trainers, I pay my trainers in 10 days. The money is wired into their account in 10 days because I know who my trainers are. It's all the other things, the shipping, the dentist, the horseshoe, there's so much involved with the game, but it's all worth it. That I will tell you, it's all worth it. And, I'd like to really express my deep gratitude to the trainers who are getting up 4:30 in the morning, Mike Maselli and Kelly Breen and Deodoro and Atris who started with nothing. Nobody would give him a chance. I gave him a chance, and the guy is now a top trainer. He came from Deodoro. He was working as a second trainer with him. And these guys work so hard, and they're so smart, and the jockeys are – you talk about athletes. I don't think jockeys get enough credit. I think they are as good as any other athletes that you have out there. And the crop of riders right now is as good as any I've seen since I started in the game in the late 70s. Just tremendous jockeys. One after the other, after the other. And the same thing with the trainers. So that's the part of the sport that I really love, is the people. And then you got the hog walkers and the grooms, who get up early in the morning and take such great care of their horses. They're starting to get some recognition, but I think people have to understand in our sport, we are with both the immigrants that have come here, the hardworking immigrants and the very wealthy owners, we're all together and in a game, all trying to win a race and be part of this great sport.
I like that overview very much, Larry. It sounds about right, the cross-section of humanity that you get when you get the game of horse racing. Let's bring Double D back in. I want to hear the story about how you two guys met up, and then Double maybe ask Larry about some of his current horses or thoughts on today's card.
I met Mr. Roman last year through a good friend of ours called Daryl, who's been in the business 40 years. If you've seen this guy around, everybody knows him. He's a gambler like myself. He's a character. And one day, just speaking to Daryl, I said, they asked me about coming to a suite, I believe. That's how the conversation started. And I said, no problem. And then when Mr. Roman came in, we met for the first time. And, if you know Lawrence, Larry, whatever way he likes me to say it, he's a guy you got to get to know because he's his personality is a little different. He does ride me hard, and we got to be close. We talk every day on a text, more or less. We're good friends now. We sit in a suite. He gave Kelly a couple horses on my asking him to do me a favor. I mean, we're trying hard, and, now we're good friends. But he rides me like a dad, I got to be honest with you. But you know what? He doesn't mean what he really does. He does it because I know he likes me a lot, and he tries to make me a better guy. So I do respect him, even though we argue all the time. But I know he doesn't mean it. I don't mean it. And, he's a very knowledgeable guy. I mean, you talk to this man in a room and you listen to him speak, it's like you heard a God talk. This guy's a very smart guy. I mean, we talk about stocks and he tries to make me understand things. So I respect him. And as far as the horses goes, he's no man's dummy. This guy, he's sharp. He knows like we had Flying Peon and other people. He knows where to place the horses. He's not here to just throw money in the garbage. So that's what I'll say about Larry. Very good guy, and we're very good friends.
Good stuff. Let's talk about some of the horses you have currently on the racetrack. Larry, any runners you're particularly excited about?
I'm excited about all the runners when they go out there. My problem is, to give you an example of the way I place my horses, when I was at Saratoga in 2019, I had 9 horses in a row claimed from me. So it's very hard for me to remember the names because I'm just putting them in a spot where I think they should be first, second, or third. And especially in today's day, the claiming game today, there's so much money around. And even if you put a $30,000 horse in for 40, there's still 3 or 4 people who are going to claim them. So the horses that I'll remember, Patty H., I had, she was claimed, we claimed her for 40 with Mike Maselli and George Anthony. We put her in first in Churchill for a $300,000 race. She didn't do so well. She got a check. We brought her back to New York, put her in for 80. After running 19 lengths back, put her in for 80. She win a $94,000 purse, and she got claimed. I mean, only in America could you get double your money in 6 weeks. And we had a horse, Easy to Bless, who did well. I claimed the horse. We just I had one with Diodora that won at Oakland on January 1st. Something mind, keep in mind, or something like that. It's long-term thinking. He won, and I won one with Mike, I think the second week in January, and that horse is coming back. That was in a 25 claimer. So I'll have three horses racing between January 22nd and January 25th. Do I guarantee they're going to win? No, but I guarantee they'll be out 100%. I'll have top jockeys, top trainers, and we give it our all. And it's a brutal game, I will tell you. It's a brutal game.
It ain't easy.
No, it's not easy. I'm in three games in my life. I was in the construction industry for 40 years in New York. It's brutal. I'm in the horse racing business for 40 years. Brutal. And I'm in stock trading, and that's the easiest thing in the world. But it's so fun. But it's not fun, but it's easy. Think about this, Pete. You pick a horse, there's 10 horses in a race. You got to pick the one horse. When you go to a stock, it's only two choices, buy or sell. And if you buy it and it goes down, you just buy more. And then when it goes back up to originally, you made money. So that's an easy game. But this game of racing, anybody who's in it, I respect these people. You know, you look at them, these owners, the money that they put into this game, and they survive it and they win the big races. And, you know, but you've seen it and I've seen it, horses that they pay $1 million, $2 million for, and they don't make it, but they come back and they do more. So the breeding part of the game, I will tell you, that's my whole game. I love great breeding, both on the sire and the dam. Those are the horses I buy, and those are the horses that I bet on. We have one horse that we won for 25 claimer. The guy paid $500,000 for the horse. We claimed the horse for $25,000, and we got a win. But I can't afford $500,000 for a horse. So I stick to what I am. And the beauty of racing, you know, owning horses is I can't own a football team or sports team, but I can own a horse. I can afford a horse and go out against people who are so smart, so successful. Just to be in the race with them, to me, is an honor and a privilege.
We've heard our buddy Jake Ballas of Black Type Thoroughbreds describe horse racing ownership that way, the closest thing you're ever going to get to a pro sports franchise. And you could see, especially a meet like the Gulfstream Park Championship meet, you are going to get to compete against some of those biggest owners in the game. We're going to dive into this late pick five here, Double D and IR, in a minute. But Larry, I did want to throw it open to you if you had any races today you wanted to give a few thoughts on.
Okay, I'm going to be like 30 seconds because I'm a very fast handicapper.
Do it.
In the sixth race, I like the 1, 3, and 8, which is more chalk, but, you know, I go by, I think they've been very competitive, those horses, and it's kind of a weak field for 35. In the next race, I can't pick it. I'm just using all. I have no idea. In the eighth race, I only see 1, 4, and 5. You know, the 1 is the favorite, but I think the 4 and 5, the 4 is coming from Canada, and Grant is sharp now. I think he's got a shot. And the 5, I love his breeding. I think he's going to be a hard-hitting horse. He's got a shot. The ninth race, look at the 6th horse. They paid $1.5 million for this horse. He's a 4-year-old. But you got Todd Pletcher. You got tremendous connection. That's my horse. If it stays on the turf, I'm all in on that horse. And in the 10th race, I'm all in with just the 10 horse, strictly on the breeding and the fact that he was claimed. And I think you're going to see an improvement. He's a long shot, but I like to be alive coming into the last race. So that's my picks. Now we'll go to the real professionals. Go ahead.
Well, Larry, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. And now, folks, when you see that Lawrence P. Roman in your racing form, you'll know who you're dealing with there. And, Larry, I look forward to getting a chance to see you again soon. I can't make it down for Pegasus. There's a conflict with the NHC in Vegas, but I will be back for the Fountain of Youth, and I hope you're around.
Great. I will be.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right, Double, let's get down to business here, starting with race number 6. We heard Larry's thoughts already on these 3-year-old filly maiden claiming 35s. I did just get some scratches in, including a horse that I was going to pick in this spot. The number 5, Chasing Joy, is out, leaving us with a field of 8. Double D, how do you want to light this candle?
Pistol, can I please say one thing before we start the handicapping?
Please.
Now, yesterday, I just want to make this clear. I did give out a lollipop, and I did give out a loser. So I want to take the bad with the good. That was the bad. I did give out. So a couple of guys did text me and call me that listen and gave me a real tongue lashing because I gave out lollipop lock. One of them was Mr. Roman, but you know what? He's right. But listen, weeks before I gave out lollipops, they won. So one guy, good friend of mine, says the lollipop is stuck in his throat from yesterday, which I understand. So I'm going to apologize to all the listeners. I'm sorry, but I do want to say one thing. I did give out an exacta. I gave out Chad Brown, 2/1-3 with a 1-2-3 box at Pete 69.
Yeah, that Sonora that we both liked, that long shot, triggered that nice exacta pay. And you were right. You went with the longer priced of the Chad Brown runners in there, who was the one that actually got the front running trip and got the money. That was very good stuff from you.
And also, if you did listen, anybody could go back and listen to the tape. I didn't say Mirror Mission was a lock, but I did give out Mia Mission over Hawkus, the exacta paid 159. So anybody that listens to me and bets has to make money yesterday. If you bet $2 on every race that we said between you, me and Johnny K, you had to make money. And I will give you and JK a thumbs up. You give that the mod horse I missed out on. I overlooked it. I was wrong. And that was a great pick by you and JK. So that's the way this game is. We give out locks, we lose. That's the way it works.
I do want to get into this pick five, but I will say one thing. You know, sometimes these big price winners come in and you look back and you say, oh, I couldn't have had that horse after the race. But looking back at that last race yesterday, now granted, if you were going to get stuck in to the favorite, as we all did, the Principe d'Oro horse, it was very hard. But if you looked at that in a spready way, for a 43-1 shot, this Mom's Moon that got the job done, looking at this breeding by Kitten's Joy, Productive Dam, analyze it, the good Chad Brown runner was a sibling. Second time Rusty Arnold, that's an angle. This is a guy who gives him one. The horse figured to be better on turf. And then you look at back at some of those workouts, was working with an older stakes horse in Cellist. Anyway, my point is, if you were spreading in the race, I did think there were some angles to recommend that winner. I mean, I'm not saying I bet the horse, I didn't, but I do think it's a useful exercise sometimes after the race to go back and take a look. And I did think there were a few things to note on that winner of the last race, even though he absolutely blew up my day. And, you know, fortunately, there were some good things along the way for us. All right, I'm ready to dive into this Sunday card. If you are, Double D, why don't you give us your thoughts on this sixth race?
Well, the sixth race, you just gave me a late scratch of Chasing Joy. That was going to be my pick. Now I'm going to have to readjust here, just a drop. I'm going to take a shot with the one. This is a very competitive race. I'm going to take a shot with the one. Hard choice. It doesn't look like much speed. First time Lasix, Kathleen O'Connell, 17%. I think this horse, you know, the 7/8 bothers me just a drop. Maybe this horse goes at the inside of the track's playing speed. I think this horse will be all right. It's not a great pick. It's just a, you know, a pick. A couple other horses I was going to use. I was going to use the 4 Unbridled Glitter, dropping down back to 35. Maybe just sits a trip. I have no clue. And then a bomb I was going to throw in was going to be the 6, Seabrook Summer, only because it's first time Lasix, backing for 35, dropping from the State Bred Maiden Special. Weak pick, 1-4-6, but I'm not strong here.
It's tricky. It's tricky race. I think I'm going to put Chasing Joy, the scratched horse here, in my stable mail, just because I thought that debut run was solid, claimed out of that, and then it's interesting. I wonder where Chasing Joy does turn up next, because this would have been up the ladder in what I would have thought was an encouraging way. You claim for 16, you come back for 35. I thought that would have been interesting. I like the look of the Bullet Workout since. And then Mary Epler, the new trainer, has a really good mark off the claim in Maiden Claimers. You know, I'm not a big stats guy. I usually try to just look at the horses on their merits, but I did play around with the stats with Mary Epler off the claim in Maiden Claimers. 5/15, 7 of them in the money, big positive ROI. Anyway, so I'm talking a long time about a scratched horse, but my point is, put that one in your stable mail and pay attention when Chasing Joy, when she does come back to the races. I ended up scratching into Chestnut Checkers. Yeah, this horse is a bit of a nibbler, but the other 7-furlong start at this level I thought was better than it looked. I thought she made a move into a fast pace there, just got tired. She's been close against better, adding Lasix. One more try for me. I'll back up with your top pick, the number one, Hard Choice, who I do think has a chance to be the speed of the speed from the inside. So 3-1 for me, 1-4-6 for you, double. And Larry before gave us out 1-3-8. Let's move on to race number 7. We're on the synthetic, 4 and up, fillies and mares, dime claimers, 5 furlongs on the synth. I was going to spread around a little bit. Larry had mentioned playing all in here. I had a little more conviction, but not much. Heart of God, I made my top pick, the number 9. Thought made a nice middle move after breaking slowly. And I think she can get a better trip here with a clean break. Maybe more of an even run through, stalking and pouncing on the speed. I think the last race basically represented some hidden improvement on the new surface. The 3, Miss Big Spring, I like. Look to enjoy the synthetic, chance to be the best speed. Number 2, Vale, I wanted in my spread. Has some big synthetic numbers up north. Martin Drexler has run second with 2 of his 3 Gulfstream Park runners this meet at decent prices off of similar layoffs. And then the 12, Drinks on Me, is a synthetic winner who has some strong late pace. Don't love the closers going 5, even on the synth, but I will have some 12s. Do you have any more clarity in here, double, than Larry or me?
Pistol, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to have to follow Larry on this one. This is an old button. I'm sorry. I never usually do that. But in the pick 5 and the pick 4, I'm hitting the all, but I have no clue. Anybody could win this race. There's no solid pick, so we're going to move on to the next race. I'm going with the all button also. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. We're, you know, the point here is to talk about how we're going to gamble on these races. And if you're playing all, play all. I don't hate playing all for a minimum amount, though. When I do that, I do like to at least come back and then play the horses I like a little bit more extra times, or if I think one of the ideal world when you're playing all, you're just trying to fade those favorites. But if there is one of the horses who are maybe the first few choices in the betting who you think is live, I'll try to play that extra time so I don't end up upside down. I hate that feeling of playing all, getting through the race with a favorite, and then you're essentially upside down on your play. I try to avoid that. But let's move on to race number 8, the hinge of this pick 5. We've got a starter allowance going 6 furlongs on the dirt. Pretty salty starter allowance in terms of the overall quality of this field. Double D, let's see what your thoughts are on this one.
Just to go back to the last race, the reason why I was taking all is because I had a single hill miles ahead. I don't really think the horse could lose. He cuts back from 7/8 to 3/4 mile, which is 6 furlongs. He won the Claimant Crown. I just think this horse is better numbers-wise. He's got Paco to rail. Probably has speed. Doesn't have to be on the lead. You also have a horse in there that does have a little speed that I looked at this horse like 10 times over the last year to have Larry or somebody claim him, was Vinny Van Gogh. Horse is honest. He's always running hard. Does have speed. He's going to be a little wide, but he does have Louis the King on him. So if he doesn't really press Paco, I think miles ahead he'll be loose. And then a third pick I was going to throw in, the horse that comes from Hawthorne and Prescott Downs. I call this guy Loving Larry Ravelli. If you don't know Larry Ravelli, in the Mid-Atlantic, Arlington and all those places, this guy's been the leading trainer. He's a polytrack specialist. He's been a leading trainer out there for, 6-7 years. So anytime you see Larry Ravelli running on a polytrack, that to me is an A. This guy's a deadly trainer. So if you ever want to know a guy that's a real good trainer, first is whatever, Larry Ravelli's a guy. So I'm going to use 1-6-7. 1 is the key. That would be my single in the pick 5, backup 6-7.
We can save you a little bit of money because the 6, Like a Salt Shaker, is actually a late scratch. I'm sorry, that just came in, or I would have told you before you did your spiel. But I still think it was good information to give just for folks who, you know, follow South Florida. I mean, I think most people know Ravelli, but that idea of upgrading him, particularly in synthetic races — this is a dirt race, but the idea of upgrading him in synthetic races makes all the sense in the world. That leaves you with the same 2 numbers as me, also wanting to press miles ahead. Very good form, a winning kind. I'm imagining a rail skimming ride, not on the lead, maybe just tipping out and going past on the turn. I think miles ahead is just faster than these. The alternative is the 7, Vinny Van Gogh, also a nice hunch play for you there, Double D. This horse has a puncher's chance to win from on or just off under Saez if the top one for some reason doesn't bring the A game. I'll have a couple of lines backing up with the 7, but I think we're all in agreement that the 1 is very much the horse to beat. Miles ahead, we'll see if he can live up to his name in race number 8. Race number 9, now this one's tricky because we're carded for this allowance race going a mile and a half on the turf. We'll see if we end up on the turf. That does seem to be rain in the forecast. I'll kick this one off. If we're on the synth, Land Biscuit would be my top pick. Tipped on the show last time by both you and JK, I thought Land Biscuit is maybe the one more than any other that wants this to be a synthetic race. Number 2, Gloucestershire, owns a synthetic win already at Kempton. This horse looks very strong to me on both surfaces, given the abundant finish he's shown in his races. Todd Pletcher, one of your guys, double. He's got 2 in here. On the synth, Gloucestershire is the one that I like better even than number 6, Conquer the World, who was Lowry's strong push. Conquer the World will get into the mix for me if we are on the grass. Another horse I like on the grass is number 3, Giroux. Has a lot of finish for a horse that should be able to sit handy against these. I'm not too sure about this one. Looking at some of the breeding stats that I look at, I don't love Giroux if we do get moved on to the synthetic, but I'm very interested on the turf. And then a long shot I'll throw in there if we're on the synth only. Number 8, Jimmy D. This horse used to run on synth, but it's gotten a lot better since the last time he tried synthetic surfaces. And looking at pace figures, I think Jimmy D has an opportunity to wire them or maybe sit just off a horse like Royale. Ah, late breaking news, Jimmy D is out. So forget everything I said about Jimmy D. He's not going to be in the race. Don't have to worry about him. I'm going to mainly focus on the 1 and the 2 on synthetic. And then on turf, I'm going to be looking at the 3 and the 6. Let's bring you back in, Double. How do you see it?
Okay, if we stay on the turf, I have to agree with Love and Larry Roman here. I think the 6, Conquer the World, is going to be very, very tough to beat. This is a $1.5 million purchase. If you went back and watched the replay last time, I know he only ran as a 4-year-old. I understand he only has 2 races. He was very, very wide with Louis, made a sweeping move. Now they stretch him out to a mile and a half, which is probably by curling. This horse looks like he wants to run all day. So if it's on the turf, I think this horse is an absolute very – I don't want to say lollipop no more because you guys are going to kill me. But I think this horse is probably a single in the pick 4, pick 5, pick 6.
Okay.
Conquer the World on the turf. Now, the other horse I was going to use on the turf was the other Todd horse. I just think this on the turf, this is nothing but 6-2. If it's on the synthetic, I'm going to go with the other Todd horse if he stays in on the synthetic. I don't know how to pronounce this, Pete. Would you be able to help?
Gloucestershire.
That would be my other pick with Land Biscuit and with Mark Cassie's horse, or Torrio Tuscan, the Ireland bred. So on the turf, the 6 to me is a single. Off the turf, we're going to use 215. So the rain is supposed to come. So I'm going to probably have to say that it's probably going to come off the turf, but I got to still say what I like on the turf, yeah. 6 with the 2 on the synthetic. I'm going to go 215.
You never know. I mean, other than horse players, weathermen have probably the worst record of predicting things with no accountability. So for all you know, the sun will be shining by 3 o'clock. But yeah, looking at that band of storms heading through, I do think synthetic is likely. And I'd be very surprised if Gloucestershire comes out just because he's got that synth win from Kempton back in 2020. So I think he's going to look pretty strong if they do come off. But all right, good stuff. Lots of thoughts there. Let's move this along to the final race of this show. 4 and up, Filly and Mare, maiden claiming 16, going 5.5 on the synthetic. Double D, how are we going to get paid?
Keith, this race is on a Tapita going 5.5. I don't really have a strong opinion, but I'm going to take a shot with Lovin' Larry Avelli, first-time starter. The guy is very good. He's 23%. I don't have any information. I spoke to nobody. I'm just taking a shot because I think this is a really, really weak race. The horse's name is Certain Hearts. A lot of us have a lot of bad hearts, I guess, right, from the gambling of losing. I'm going to take a shot with that horse on top. I was going to use
the four, Bet on Drama. That was just a second pick. You know, his horse is honest. He's got a third. I don't know. I just have no clue here. And then if you want to use two other horses for the pick four, pick five, pick six, there's six, Elusive, Uncaptured, Honest, Fresh, Cutting Back in Distance. This horse just likes to hang. You know, it's no solid pick there. And then maybe for a little long shot, I was going to throw the 10 in Crystal Lagoon off the claim. Larry mentioned the horse, but very weak pick for me in here. 5, 4, 6, 10. This could be another all race. I hate to say that. I'm going to lean to a trainer that's deadly with firsts, the 5, Certain Hearts.
All right. I put Elusive Uncaptured right on top, the 6. Maybe a little unexciting as a 9-start maiden, but I just think she's found the right spot here, Double D, because this is the weakest group she's encountered in a long time, the weakest group on the synth. And how often do you see a horse, when you look at the pace figures, and they're cutting back from a mile 70 to 5.5, and the pace figures still put them in front? I think she just might be fitter than these and might be able to run them off their feet. So I like Elusive Uncaptured quite a bit in this spot. I will also use one that neither of you guys mentioned, the 9, Summer Beauty. Maybe a little bit interesting first synthetic, if ready, off this long layoff. If you look at the figures she was running back earlier in her 3-year-old year, you build in some improvement for age. I think Summer Beauty can run numbers that are right there with these, not the strongest group of maiden 16s ever assembled. I have it 6-9. You've got 5, 4, 6, 10. Larry gave a nice push on that 10. I'll probably try to include Crystal Lagoon somewhere as well. Should be able to pull a pretty good trip in this spot. In fact, I'm going to write in the 10 as a B on Larry Say So. And that's it. That's
wait, Pete, I'm writing in your 6. You convinced me.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right, we'll see if we can hit this pick today. Hopefully the weather won't affect things too much. Any closing thoughts from you, Double D, on this Sunday show?
I just like to, you know, like I always like to thank all the listeners. You know, we're trying our hardest. I'm putting people on the show that are very knowledgeable. Pistol Pete and JK, we're putting on all, you know, trainers, owners. We're trying a little bit of a different format. So we're giving all the listeners a more of a detailed information of different directions of how people got in the business and how they handicap and how we handicap. So I think that's very helpful. And, you know, remember, we're trying our best. This is not an easy job to pick winners. But, you know, 5 races a day, we're doing our best between the 3 of us plus the guests. So keep listening. And, you know, like Pete always says, if you have any good replies, you always can go online on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. So thank you for your help and Happy New Year to everybody.
Love it. And reach out. There's a contact page over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. If you're a high roller, you're looking for a great way to spend a day at the races at Gulfstream Park, we might be able to sort you out. So if you're going to be in the area, let us know if the schedules align and whatnot. Get a chance to hang out there, potentially up there in the suites, firing away with Double D and Larry and the rest of the crew. Me, when I'm down there, really looking forward to the chance to get back to Gulfstream Park sooner rather than later. Let's thank also, you already thanked the listeners, which I appreciate. Let's thank our friends at Gulfstream Park, including Aiden Butler, Billy Badgett, Mike Rogers, Peter Rotundo. They're the ones who really got this show up and running, and we appreciate them greatly. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!